Good evening. I think I'm on, right? Good evening, everyone. I was just talking with Amanda about every little bit, just thoughts come about Sunday and the guests that we had, and I get teary-eyed, so grateful. Some of our most favorite people for decades were here. And then I hear the back stories. I don't know if you've heard them, you know. Of course, you heard Sunday that Brother David volunteered himself, which we wanted him to. I would have wanted him to come. Amanda was wanting him. But Candy, who actually is a pastor, she and her husband, Amanda talked to her and said, "Oh, Amanda, I was trying to get the courage to call you and say if I could ask you if I could come." She wanted to come. So we were so blessed. You know, I know that you don't take for granted those of you that know and have followed their ministries. You don't get people. This is the favor of the Lord to get them to come to that city. And to love us the way they do. And I got a kick of it. I don't know if you knew that, but they got to Tulsa, Brother Joe and David Ellis at around 3 a.m. And so he texted Amanda, "We're home." Oh my goodness gracious. And you know, because she's a nurse, she doesn't turn it off, you know. So, okay. So we always make fun of them because Brother Joe's with them. He and Candy are the grown-ups. And so Brother Joe texted her at around 10 and saying, "I can't believe that David texted you at 3 a.m. Anyway, but they're like that. They'll text so that we know they got home. And isn't that just precious? That's what you want your children to do. At whatever time they get home, you know. Oh, praise God. Anyway, we're just blessed. And like this better? A little better? Okay. So we're going to open today to John chapter 4. We'll start with verse 46. And we want to take a close look. We've done it so many times, but we'll do it again and again. Until we meet him face to face, we're going to take a close look at Jesus. Jesus the healer. And Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever. Jesus the anointed one. And you know, one thing that we learned, and that's what we attempt to give to you, what we have learned, what has worked in our lives, what worked in the lives of others that passed it on to us, and then we have proven that it works, then that is our responsibility to bring it to you and as many as the Lord will allow us to take it to. That for the anointing, which is the power of God, the healing power of God, to do us any good, it has to be received. That is no criticism toward those that don't know how to receive it yet, is that they've not been taught. They don't have that revelation yet. But the truth is that if we could see that and truly realize that the power of God is always present to heal. Because you understand what motivates the power of God is God Himself, and God is love. So it's the love of God that is behind the power of God. So he wants us to know the depth and the height, that extreme love that he has for us. He does not want us to suffer. He wants us to receive from him. He came to give us life. And the Bible says life more abundantly. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be full of joy and to enjoy life. We love when we have the privilege of being around friends like these, because it's just that rubbing shoulder, the being around, and then we talk about that. There's something about the spirit of faith. The people that are triumphant, not religious, you understand? Jesus was not religious. He was full of life. He is life. He is life. Love. Goodness. Happiness. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's just something about people that we want to be carriers of that spirit of faith. Amen. Not a spirit of heaviness. Amen. Not a victim mentality. But out of the triumph that Jesus shares with us, because now we're in him. His triumph is our triumph. There is nothing, no work of the devil that will have any power or dominion over you any longer when you see yourself in Christ. Don't see yourself according to what has happened to you in life. The mistreatments or that which is missing. You're in Christ now. There, you're complete in him. I mean, look at script. I'm giving you scripture. I could quote it. We'll go there and we could go there and read it, but it'd be another message. But let's go to John 4, because we want to see and find out how people tapped into Jesus to get their needs met. Amen. Now, this was really old covenant, because Jesus had not gone to the cross. Even though it's the Gospels, they were still under the old covenant. Jesus had not gone to the cross and resurrected and ascended yet. But we see the ministry of Jesus and how people receive from him, foreshadowing how that we can receive. If they did then, how much more can we? Amen? But it just, I cannot stress enough how important it is that you know him personally. I was reading something, and I was reading it to Pastor Jim. Boy, that's a long introduction. I didn't know I was going to do this long introduction. But I was reading something from a book of Oral Roberts, where he's talking about his life, and he was talking about his parents growing up in that home. His dad was a pastor. And he and his brother would hear them. They lived in a small home, you know, and the walls were thin. And when they woke up in the morning, they would start talking to Jesus. And so, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm going to say Oral, because he was growing up. And what was his, Virgil? Or Vernon, or something like that, his brother. Anyway, and he'd tell his brother, Jesus is in this house. He'd wake him up, isn't it? Because the parents were talking to him like if he had come home. It was so personal. And the brother would say, no, he's not. He said, yes, he is. Like, better behave because Jesus came to the house. He's here in person, you know. And it just blessed me so, because you can talk to Jesus like if he were here. When you get to know him and walk with him, it's like if he were there with you. Amen? In person. Glory to God. So let's having said that, let's go and enjoy these. We're going to see individual healings in the Gospels. We'll get started today about these. And actually, there are 19 specific individual healings in the Gospel. And so this one in John 4, verse 46, is the case of the nobleman's son. The King James calls him a nobleman, and that means a ruler, somebody in authority, and these actually is recorded, and we'll see that as we read, as the first healing miracle of the Lord Jesus. Now we know that the first miracle was turning water into wine and Cana of Galilee. So now again we have Jesus in Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now Capernaum is the town that is most mentioned throughout the ministry of Jesus. So this man was from Capernaum, but he was in Cana, of Galilee, where Jesus was. So verse 17, so we see here that the son was sick. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So we see here a father pleading for a son who was about to die. And then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And of course, you have to read the whole context and see why, you know, Jesus was saying that. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And so, you know, he was asking Jesus to come. I don't know. I meant to have looked it up. I think I knew it at one time. The distance, walking distance between Cana and Capernaum, but it was a considerable amount of time. So Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So we're going to see, as we look at these different healings of the Lord Jesus, how Jesus ministered healing to different people in different situations. He was not against going with people. In fact, he volunteered to go, if you recall, with the centurion to heal his servant. But the centurion said, just say the word. So, but in this case, he's saying, go your way, your son lives. So he must have known, because, you know, he told us in the book of John that he always did what he saw the Father do. He always spoke what he heard the Father say. So there must have been a reason for it. If he had just waited to go to Capernaum, maybe that boy would have died. Not that Jesus could not raise from the dead, but you know, Jesus was being led of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to, as we grow in the Lord, we're not led of people or people's requests. We're led of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always has the best for people. He has the best for people. He'll minister to people. He will attend to people. But we're not led of people. We're led of the Lord. Amen. And, you know, we don't get there overnight, but we get there. Right? We get there. Glory to God. So, did we read verse 50 already? And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." See, he was being led of the Holy Spirit, and he must have known the servants were would be on their way to tell him this. And then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And look at this. He himself believed, and his whole household. Praise God. Now the Bible says this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So we see that this was the first healing miracle, but it was the second miracle or the second sign that New King James calls it. So we see here that this was actually a gradual. It seems to be a gradual healing or a gradual healing miracle. Why is that? Because verse 52 says, when he began to amend. What does it say in the New King James? Because I have King James here. Is that how he says it too? The hour when he got better. He started getting better. See, in other words, he came out of that state of about to die. He got better, you know, and actually the fever left him. So that's great. Amen. That the fever left him. So for somehow it seems that he had contracted a deadly fever, and that was causing him to begin to die. So we see Jesus speaking life. If you would give me verse 46, I might just have to find it so that I don't keep you that busy here. In verse 50, it says that Jesus told him, "Go your way, your son lives. Go your way, your son lives." But notice what happened after that. The men believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. And so we see the Holy Spirit did not leave that out of that verse. That clause there is important. Or it would have been left off. It would have just said, Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." And then we could go and read. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him. You see, this is what happens sometimes with some people, that they think if it is God, it will happen. I'm not putting down anyone. Probably, maybe all of us were there at some point. But that's what a lot of people are to where they, what keeps them from receiving. that they have that mentality. If it is God, it's going to happen. If it is God, nothing is going to keep it from happening. You see? In other words, they leave a parenthesis there. But if it's not God, if it's not God, it won't happen. Okay, in the case of healing, we get to know that it is always God. There's not a, you know, there may be other things. That's why we have to understand and be wise as to how to pray for different things. There may be some things that are not the will of God for everybody. You know, but healing is for all. Amen. You can't, you know, if it's God, then it'll happen. No, you have to lay hold. And we will see it in many instances. I was coming and I was singing a song that we used to sing. She, talking about the woman with the issue of blood, she laid hold of the word and she was made whole. She was made whole because she laid hold of the word. So right here in verse, you can go ahead and leave it there. In verse 50, it says that the man believed the word. This is important. Amen? And we don't believe with our mind. We believe with our heart. Your head may go tilt, but you're not led of what your head is telling you or of what your emotions are telling you. You need word of God. You need word of God. You need to hear word of God. Amen. So you either find scripture, because in the case of healing, there's plenty. Or if it's something else, you get together with the Lord and until you hear from him. And when you hear and you know it's him, then you're not moved from that. But we're talking about healing, and we have it in the word. But you see, You must accept it in your heart as it is personally for you. This is mine. I am healed. Healing is mine. Healing belongs to me. Amen? And so that's why, you know, God's word is medicine. As in Proverbs 4, verse 20, where it says, attend unto my words. Remember that? And it talks about God being medicine, the word of God being medicine. That's another lesson. So we see here that this man believed. Would it have happened? Would his son had been healed? Would the son had been healed if the man had not believed? According to this passage, he wouldn't have. Otherwise, the Bible would not say that men believed. That is important. Mm-hmm. The men believed. See, God extends his grace, but the grace of God is to be received by faith. And it's not hard. You don't have to fabricate faith. You have the faith of God in you as a believer. You know, there are times, but that's another lesson. There are times when God will heal people even when they're not in faith. But I am talking to believers. I'm talking to the body of Christ. And there's faith in us. You have to understand that. You have to receive that. You have to believe that you have the faith of God. Amen. And so, praise God. We see here these men believed, and the man's faith was the door for his whole household to believe in the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we see that this man initiates the healing. Did you know? We will see that repeatedly, how that in so many cases, the healing was not initiated by the Lord Jesus, was initiated by somebody going to him with faith. See, they used to be, when I was growing up, was quite young, that song came out, Que Sera, Sera. And you even said that, Que Sera, Sera, which is Spanish, by the way. And you sang it in the United States, didn't you? Anyway, people in the church bought that as doctrine. It's getting really quiet in this Presbyterian church. I don't think I've ever said that before. There's one time. Nothing against Presbyterians. I love them. But, you know, they're taught to be quiet in church. Anyway, all of a sudden, I got a sinking feeling. I got so quiet here. That's not correct thinking. Whatever will be, will be. That's wrong. That's not Bible. Amen. That's not Bible. Glory to God. You know, we have scripture, and you can go to the, and the Lord has given it to us so that we can initiate whatever that we desire from the Lord, because we see it in his word. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, I could really go there. So he placed, this man placed faith on the word that Jesus gave him, on his word alone. Jesus didn't go lay hands, anoint with oil, do a dance around, light a fire, you know. He didn't do any of that. He just said, go your way, your son lives. Amen. There's you know, people grow there are different levels. I'm not knocking down, but there's times when the Lord speaks and speaks through his you know, anointed servants. Like, for example, Brother Joe was here, and he had word of knowledge about many things. If a situation like that happens, and you hear a condition that you're suffering, take hold of it. Don't wonder whether it's you or not. It's free for the taking. You see, but these things have to be taught, so people can receive them, you know. Don't check to see, oh, was that me? It must not have been me. Because let me tell you, the devil's master of circumstances. If you have to wait to see it, to believe it, that's not the faith that you and I have received from the Lord. I have news for you. We didn't receive Thomas's type of faith. We received Abraham's type of faith. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God, there used to be that song that David Ingalls wrote. If you have to see it first, touch it or feel it or something else the song said, you'll never get Abraham's blessing, that song said. And he got it out of a message that Kenny Hagin preached. You'll never get Abraham's blessings with the Thomas kind of faith. Amen? And to realize we have the faith of our father Abraham. He's the father of our faith. Amen? So let's go to number two and of the individual healings, just to learn a little more. And this is the demoniac in the synagogue. And we're going to read it in two places because it's a little different. Mark 1, verse 21 through 28. You know what? Next time I'll give you the scriptures ahead. I apologize. She's so good, and I don't want to take her for granted. So we're going to start with verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Jesus, you will find this out, that he loved to heal people on the Sabbath. And it would send all the Sadducees and the Fedducees and the Fettuccinis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you see, they were really sad, you see. You've heard that before. But anyway, it would really bother them. But Jesus liked to do it because healing on the Sabbath, he was a type of the finished work and of the rest of faith. Hallelujah. And so that's a parenthesis here. So it says that it was the Sabbath and he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Isn't that wonderful? And we have his teachings recorded. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. If you would give us Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 31. So as she finds that, we see here that this healing occurs while Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. So again, I refer you to scripture that we know that Jesus went about preaching and teaching, you know, and healing. And so this was a man, apparently, he may have had a condition like epilepsy or similar to that, because he convulsed. You know, when first was filled with the Spirit, and actually we were filled with the Spirit, that's just a little anecdote that we enjoy sharing, that we got saved same year, same month, and we got filled with the Holy Spirit the same year, same month. Glory to God. We don't know about the date. It might have been the day too. But neither of the two of us recorded it. We just knew the month. Anyway. So after we got filled with the Spirit, we started, you know, my dad would go sometimes into homes and demons would talk out of people and say, don't come near us. Well, what do you think a Baptist pastor is going to do with that? They didn't teach him what to do in seminary. But, you know, the Holy Spirit helped him and people got delivered. But then he would be preaching in the church, in the sanctuary. And there would be somebody that a demon would manifest. And my daddy from the pulpit would say, you know, would direct a couple of deacons to take this person, you know, it was a hall to the left, and said, Lydia, you go take care of that. Okay? So I got my beginnings. I had never heard anyone or seen anyone do it, you know. But you know, they got delivered. The demons left. And anyway, then I there were some things that happened. I'm not going to tell you here. But then I learned from Dad Hagen. He said, don't let the demons do a demonstration. Don't let them. Amen. So it's not that Jesus was letting the demons put on a show. When it says here that he was convulsing, apparently that demon in him was causing those seizures. You know, and so Jesus commanded that demon to come out, and then it says that they cried out with a loud voice, but he came out of him. That unclean spirit came out, and then that man was set free. It was healed, didn't have those convulsions anymore. Praise God. So in Luke 4, it says it a little different. It calls it an unclean demon, which is the same thing as an unclean spirit. And instead of saying that he had convulsed him, it says he had thrown him in their midst. And it came out when Jesus said, be quiet, come out of him. The demon came out and did not hurt him. Praise God. Amen. So this healing we see happens in the synagogue. You know, happens in the midst of a service. Like I was saying, some of these things happened when my dad was preaching. And it seemed like they were always women, and that's why my dad had me go take care of it. And then, you know, I got to minister to them personally, because when that happens, and people are aware, then the devil will, you know, make them feel ashamed. Many times. And so then you get to minister to them, because now that they're set free, and there's no shame, there's no condemnation. Amen. So I got to do that a few times, to restore people. Yeah, you go, you're free. You can walk with your head up high and don't be embarrassed, or, you know. There were a few things that could have made people, you know, and there was a lady actually had kind of a time, and I had to go visit her, because she'd walk with her head down, like embarrassed, ashamed. But praise the Lord, we overcame that. Amen. The important thing is to be set free by the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And so whatever that demon was causing in that body, that Jesus delivered him. Amen. And so let's go to another one. We'll have another one. And as you can see in the situation, it doesn't say that. I wanted to say this before I go. It does not say here that the faith of the man was involved. Did you notice these? Because these was to be dealt with differently. A demon needed to be cast out. You see? So again, Jesus always knew what to do by the direction of the Father, who would always tell him what to do because he listened. Amen. The Lord wants always to direct us. We just need to be better listeners, like Jesus. Amen. But we see here that what happened is that Jesus was teaching, and he got interrupted in his teaching by this man crying out. But it was the demon in him crying out. And so Jesus used his authority. That's the point here. Here, Jesus' word that he used, was with power and authority over that demon. And the demon had to obey. Amen? So as we know, not all sicknesses are caused by demons in the person. Yet we know that all sickness is of the devil. There's not one sickness that is of God. Amen? People will say, well, some are natural causes. Well, but they're not brought by God. They came with the fall. Amen? They may be what we call, quote unquote, natural causes. People say, well, see, that was not, it was germs, or it was a virus, or it was, yeah, but who brought those into the world? Amen. And they have no right to the child of God. They may be, quote unquote, natural, but they're not allowed. We are not to allow them in our bodies. Amen. People will say, yeah, but God allowed it. No, he didn't. Our ignorance allowed it. Let's blame God again. Que sera, sera. You know, I will always minister grace, and there's no condemnation. The blame goes to the devil, period. Exactly. Blame was not to be something that human beings carry. Jesus took them from us. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We are, none of us are perfect. We miss it. But aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Amen. Glory to God. So we don't want the devil to take any place. Amen. We don't want to give him any place. So praise God. Let's go to number three. And this one is a simple one. Matthew 8, verse 14. This one is Peter's mother-in-law. And so we're going to see another facet of the ministry of Jesus. Matthew 8, verse 14. It says, now when Jesus, we're going to read 14 and 15. And now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, so in other words, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. Now let's go to Mark 1, verse 29. We're going to read 29 through 31. This account of Peter's mother-in-law is found in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And how some people are bothered with the fact that the same account has different wording in a different gospel. But there's something that is called the harmony of the gospels. It's not that one contradicts the other, it's that they harmonize. Bring the different details together and it will give you the whole picture. Amen? And so that's why I like to, those accounts that we find in different gospels, I like to read all of the accounts. Some accounts give a little more detail than others. And so here in Mark 1, verse 29 says, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, so see, we see that they came out of church, as we would say. They entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And of course, you know, Simon refers to Peter. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. Now notice this, that Matthew didn't have. And they told him about her at once. See, in Matthew it says that he saw her lying sick. Now it says they told him about her. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. See, in Matthew it says that he touched her hand. Now it says that here that he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she served them. Now let's see the account in Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. It gives a little bit more detail. This account is a little juicier. And so it says, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now you see Simon or Peter and Andrew were brothers. And it was not unusual that big families, you know, they live together, maybe different quarters here and there. But anyway, it was Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was sick. And right here, it gives us the detail that it was a high fever. So it wasn't just any little fever. It was a high fever. And they made request of him. You have another detail here, that they made request. See, they asked him concerning her. So, in other words, they asked him that he would heal her. He was asked, see? And it says that he stood over her and rebuked the fever. So we get some more detail here. Jesus rebuked the fever. So see, that is where we get many times, we rebuke sickness. We disallow it. You have the right to disallow and rebuke sickness. Don't just put up with it. Don't just wonder about it. Nothing wrong for you going to the doctor, but consider Jesus first and through it, before, through it, and after going to the doctor. Amen. And you, we need to have a position of opposing sickness. Amen. Can I say these without offending anyone? You know, we really ought not to nurse the sickness. Now, nothing wrong with nursing the person. You understand? Because we love one another and we're caring. And, you know, as parents, we are toward our children, as wives to the husbands, husbands to the wives. Amen. And kind and want to help. But our position toward sickness ought not to be to nurse it, but to rebuke it. It does not belong to us. Jesus set us free from it. It is His will that we be healed. It is an abuser. And there, we ought not to allow abuse of any type. Mistreatment, ill treatment. You understand? Sickness comes to steal from you, both physically and financially. You know? So I'm not trying to be mean about it. I hope you understand. We're good to the person. We try to make it as easy as we can, but in the midst of it, we say, no, you're not allowed. Don't pet it. Amen. Glory to God. You're not allowed in this house. You're not allowed in a child of God's body. Really, to tell you the truth, that the Lord has the overall same thought, whether you're a Christian or not. Sickness is an enemy to mankind. Amen? And the Lord loves both the just and the unjust. And He wants people whole and healed. And many times, you know, healing will open up a person's heart to receive salvation.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It's the goodness of the Lord, the Bible says, leads people to repentance. Healing is not just for Christians, it's for everybody. But the Christian, you see, is redeemed from it already. So we've got to get out of religious thinking. Just because sickness has run rampant in the church for so many generations. Amen? In our home, not only the both of us are like that, but he as my head. Amen? Takes authority over it, if ever tries to come. And if it is with him, he'll ask me to pray, and I do. And you know, I mean, there's times we have prayed for one another through our 45 years of marriage. You know, if the Lord reveals that it's a spirit, we command it to leave, and it leaves, begin to amend. Don't tolerate it. Amen? So I need to finish here. And we're almost done, right? Did we read the 38 and 39 already? He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it says it left her. And you may say, well, that's Jesus. Yeah. And it says, and immediately she arose and served them. People say, well, that's Jesus. You know, I have heard it throughout. You know, if Jesus, If I had lived in the time of Jesus. But you know what? Jesus is the same. Jesus is still alive. And actually, today, he has declared that by his stripes, you were healed. Amen? Did you know I'm sure they were very precious people, at least precious to all their family and their friends. But even in the times of Jesus, there were people with unbelief. You are not an unbeliever. You are a believer. Don't let the devil accuse you. It must be you don't have faith. You know, I remember, and I know that I refer to him a lot, but is that I learned so much from him. There was one time, you know, because Brother Hagin was healed of such acute diseases, three of them, each one of them was enough to kill him, and he'd been told he would not live past the age of 15. And so he was having some symptoms that came to him one time, and then after he'd been healed, you know, for many years. And the devil told him, you're not going to get healed this time. And he, you know, he said, ha, 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 ha. How many of you may have heard him preach. He'd go, ha, 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 ha. He said, I would start laughing in the flesh, and then I'd really get in the spirit laughing. And he said to the devil, devil, you're right. I'm not going to get healed. I was already healed.
Amen.
By the stripes of Jesus, I was already healed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The devil will come to get a response. Just like the Lord does too, many times, just to hear your response. Who's, you know, how are you going to respond? What's coming out of your heart? Amen? And so, immediately she arose and served them. So, this account in Luke shows us that someone came to Jesus and initiated the healing. See, it says that they made request of him. I don't know who, it doesn't say who, if it was Peter or maybe Peter's wife or, you know, who. But someone came to Jesus and initiated the healing. So a person or persons were believing for her healing. They trusted Jesus. And we see that Jesus, again, like I already said, exercised authority over the fever. Praise God. You know, we love it when there's a tangible, I want to finish with this, a tangible healing anointing that is transferred through touch. Apparently, this is what happened here because Jesus touched her, rebuked the fever, both and touched her. So there was a transfer, the anointing, a tangible. By tangible, I mean that you can sense it. You can almost touch it and feel it. Then we all love that. But it might be present, it might not. Not in all instances, you know. But there's times that you can really sense that. And through the years of laying on our hands, man, sometimes it's like electricity. You know, but that flows out of the hand. But the other person then needs to receive it. You know, again, I say, you know, Brother Hagin would say sometimes that it would come back to him. because the person was having trouble receiving. And then, you know, because he had that tangible anointing. Jesus had laid his hands on his hands. And it was very evident, all those of us that knew him and were around him, and the proof was in the pudding, like we say. But praise God, again, we see that this healing happened on a Sabbath, which was a type of the finished work of Christ and the rest of faith. And we also see that this mother-in-law, Peter, used her health now to serve. And isn't that wonderful? So I need to finish here because time is up. But it's just so good to see Jesus. He didn't follow a formula. It's not a formula. But it's just, he's a person full of love, full of compassion. And Jesus used different methods of healing. There are different methods of healing. So don't get stuck in one thing or another, you know. But know these, that he wants you healed, and actually he wants you healed now. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. And you can, put, you know, you can, because the word salvation there is soteria, you can put healing. Today is the day of your healing. When you get that revelation inside, it makes all the difference in the world. That is today. That no one can push it on you, but the Holy Spirit wants to reveal that to you. You know, when I was told at one time that it was going to take me at least 2 years, a minimum of 2 years, to recover from the Epstein-Barr virus, the doctor explained different strands, but I was that strongest hit me, and because of my age and so forth, that it was going to take about 2 years. Well, at the moment when I was told that, I had to be transported by wheelchair. And again, we're back to the Presbyterian Church, thinking, feeling him. Because he hit me in an airport, in the airport of Denver. We never had a situation like that, never. To where my husband had to call the paramedics. And then they transported me actually by a gurney. Uh-huh. And then took me to a hospital. And so anyway, then to make a long story short, then the following day as we were coming here, I had to go by wheelchair. I couldn't hardly even lift up my head. But as that paramedic came and took my blood pressure, and I heard that it was ridiculously low, like in the 30s both ways. I knew that was not good. And so anyway, in the inside of me, praise God. You know, what had happened is that I had run myself down physically. I had just come back from Spain, taking care of my mother. But thank God, in my spirit, I was full of the word. Because I had been ministering to her healing. I had been studying. I was in the word. And so, praise God for that. That I didn't have to wait to get to a level that I had it in me. You know, but I was hit physically stronger than ever. I was there very aware that my life was leaving me. My physical life was leaving me. And right there I said, oh, no, you won't, devil. Underneath, you know, I could hardly talk. I said, no, you won't. You will not. You'll not do this to me. See, you got to know. It's not the will of God. I will not die early. I will not leave my husband. I will not leave the rest of the body of Christ to have to do my job too on top of theirs. I said that right there as that guy was... They came pretty fast, didn't they? But anyway, when the doctor told me that, the 2 years, I said in my spirit, even though as he was saying it, I had been wheeled by a wheelchair, and I could hardly lift up my head. So he was going, you know, by what he was seeing, they did not know at first what it was, but the Holy Spirit showed me to ask them to check for a virus. And the doctor said, no, that's not a virus. I said, would you do it? And they called not too long after that, and they said, you know, you were right. It just came out really strong that it was the Epstein-Barr virus. And anyway, that's when we went back, and he told me that. And I looked in my spirit, you know, communicating with the Lord. Because the Lord, you got to know the Lord's fighting with you against these things. He's for you. Yes. He's with you. He's for you. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
He knows the way out. Amen. And so, anyway, I looked in here. I said, oh, no. To myself, no, it's not going to be 2 years. No, it's not going to be 1 year. No, it's not going to be 6 months. But you know, getting the witness in here. Because don't go and, you know, I wouldn't try now to tell you the truth. I wouldn't pick up 250-pound dumbbells. I know that you would, but I wouldn't. You know, I can do 15. But I'm not going to do the 50. I don't want to hurt myself. Anyway, so I, at least right now, you know, I mean, I'll do it with both hands. Both hands like that. So in the same, you got to know where you're at. And I said, it will not be 1 month. And then I had the peace, it'll not be 1 month. But you know what? I went to the Word. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit helped me to get the revelation. I remember this one day. Today. Amen. And in 2 weeks, I was totally recovered. Amen. Glory to God. So the Lord has revelation. For you and me. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We depend on you. And we thank you, Father, that you give it to us that we might walk in all that you have already offered for us to walk in. We thank you, Lord, for healing us, delivering us from all oppression, from all depression, from all offense, from all hurts. from all emotional and psychological and mental pain inflicted by the enemy. We thank you, Father God, that your people are free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let healing take place. Let healing begin to take place with mighty force. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for bearing with me a little longer. The Lord is good, isn't he? So we saw three cases, and we'll continue to see some more.